in 05 and 06, I deployed to Kuwait. I used to wait every day for them to say, nature going home. I missed my life, missed my wife. For 15 months, she was all alone. But when I got back, I felt out of control. Feeling entitled, I put my life on hold. I keep on drinking, so I'm sinking in a river of liquor. Me and my wife weren't alright, I didn't reconnect with her. I had a business, insurance agent, and rental properties. But is there something bigger than this? I know there's gotta be, so I invested in myself. I started seeing coaches. Life is a camera, I fixed the lens, and now I see in focus. Now my life's unrecognizable
from my life just a couple years ago.
17 plus years of marriage, it's never been better than this. And we got three kids, that's who I do it for. I'm called to be a leader. I'ma lead the way, cause I'm a firm believer. We can do anything we want. Look, if I said it, then I meant it. I probably already did it. Consider it done. Consider it done. If you need some inspiration, you should play this
Championship Leadership Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Championship Leadership Podcast. Today, I had the incredible opportunity to have some time with Brad McLeod, former Navy SEAL, founder of SEAL Grinder PT, a website coaching program. They put out some incredible workout plans as well, and they do a bunch of different things with athletes and those that are aspiring to be Navy SEALs and just better themselves overall in their mental and physical capacities. And the audio was a little broken up. Our connection wasn't the greatest, but it was a great conversation. Towards the end, it really got worse. But for the most part, you can hear him. He cuts out here and there, but it was a great, incredible information and conversation. And it's still well worth the listen. So please do. All right, everybody, I got Brad McLeod here with SEAL Grinder PT, and excited to have you here. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time, and appreciate the invite.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to catch up with your audience, with your listeners.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm excited for this one. So, you know, I've been following you and what you've been doing on the old social media for a little bit. I think I first came across you somehow around. I did SEAL Fit Kokoro here a few years ago, and so somehow I came across you in that mix somewhere along the lines. But I've been following you, and I also purchased one of your products, a 180 day training plan, which is awesome. So
good.
Reached out and wanted to have you on.
Glad you like it. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, I'd like to start just like I always do, is the name of the podcast is Championship Leadership. So what comes to mind for you when you think of championship leadership?
I mean, speaking of championship, actually, I just texted a buddy of mine that, an old work friend or what have you, and he was, he graduated from Clemson University, of course, Tigers fan, and part of that was just, congratulating him on, their championship in college football this past year. So I guess what I think of with the championship is just leadership. I think of someone like Dabo Swinney, and for those that follow college football, obviously he's a coach, but that, you know, way back in the day, he was just an assistant that got promoted up. And a lot of people that in college football were like, we'll see how that works, you know? And
right.
he was an unproven commodity in terms of coaching. College football had never had a head coach position. And so when I think of championship, I would think obviously with, college football championship, but also having that leadership quality is that without a top flight level coach that has, buy-in, that has standards, without all of that, And without, by example, without that, I mean, that, so, you know, a fresh conversation from here just a few minutes ago, me texting a buddy of mine is that that's, you know, very relevant, right on my mind here recently. And I'll say this too, I'm a diehard FSU fan. So for,
are you really? You know,
heated rivals and all that. So it pains me a little bit to speak so highly of the Clemson program, but you know, hey man, when a group is winning, and, you gotta tip your hat to them, no matter, you know, no matter where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like you said, a championship, true championship leader knows one when they see one. And Dabo Swinney is definitely one of those that comes to mind. You talked about character, right? I mean, yeah. The guy is like epitome of character, yeah, especially absolutely. In today's sports world. It feels like character sometimes lacks a bit.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
What? Tell the listeners a little bit about your background. So Navy SEAL, company SEAL Grinder PTE, like, yeah, what, just give us a, maybe paint a picture and how, you know, potentially have there been any other championship level leaders in your path that have helped pave the way for you to get you to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, the 2-minute elevator version,
yeah,
of say my life, I'm 56 now, back 19 years old. I was just a young, typical American teenager, just didn't really know quite what I wanted to do. You know, partied a little bit too much, tried for my first year in college, and I just really didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I had read a book about being a frogman, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I mean, you know, I didn't have an athletic background growing up in high school or what have you. I skateboarded, of all things, believe it or not. I couldn't make the high school football team, but, you know, I'm a little guy. You see me right now. I'm like the same size I was back in Buds. You know, couldn't make baseball. Couldn't, you know, definitely. I was not an athlete by any stretch.
Yeah.
I'm not the 6'2" chiseled, you know, warrior that you think of as a Navy SEAL, but you know, people have referred to me before as like the underdog. And so, yeah, you know, here it was, I was this average teenage kid that wanted to dream big and do something really big. And I've likened it before to think of the young boy, a young teenager on a farm and out in Kansas baling hay, and he just comes up with this idea, hey, maybe he took a drama class and was like, hey, I want to go out to Hollywood and give it a shot. And so really, yeah, that was what it was. I just wanted to give it a shot. And if I fell down on my face, at least I tried. You know, I'd never been past the Mississippi River as a kid. And so for me to kind of jump out of my comfort zone and try to go do something big, that was, you know, that was huge, man. So, yeah, that's what got me started on the whole, you know, Navy SEAL track. I was probably the most unlikely person to have become a Navy SEAL. Like, you know, the most unlikely person to succeed in high school, I would have been voted. People today are like, they still seem to talk to me, high school, other people. They're like, I don't believe this. How did you turn it around? So anyway, so that's how I got it started with the whole thing, really. Yeah.
That's incredible. It's like, but you did it, you know, I mean, you did it. So, I know you said you just wanted to, you know, see if you could do it or give it a try, right? Give it a go. Like, was that really it? Was there anything else that was really driving you? Like,
It was there really, you know, I wanted to take a shot, but my why was off the chart, 6 foot tall, freaking, you know, 6 foot tall letters, 30 foot tall bonfire, in that I had a serious why, you know, I wanted to do something to make my parents proud of me. I wanted a certain level of respect. I knew deep down that I had something to give, and I knew that, what I was doing in life right then, I was just going nowhere quick. And I really just kind of got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I just said, you know, enough's enough, man. You're either going to Hollywood or you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, quit talking about it. And yeah. So that fuel of, you know, my family and my dad saying he's proud of me, that's all I wanted, man, is like, yeah. So when I was out there shivering in the cold, yeah. In the surf, or, you know, when I got, you know, too much water in my lungs, or, and I was on the sideline of the pool, or, you know, when I was exhausted, or when I was in Hell Week, went through Hell Week twice, yeah. You know, that's what I thought about, man. I thought about my dad. I thought about my parents. I thought about, hey, what you going to do? You're going to go back home and be sick and tired of being sick and tired again? And I knew the hell I wasn't gonna do that. So I put it on the line right there. I put it all on the line. I said, the only way I'm coming out is with an air mask on my face. Only way I'm coming out is you haul me out in a stretcher. And so, you know, I mean, even today, people ask me that, you know, I get fired up, man. It puts like a yeah. little tingly on the back of my yeah. neck there, because, you know, for me, the why is everything. That's yeah. what propels me. Yeah. You know, we were talking earlier off the recording about, you know, doing bike racing for charity and stuff like that. And, you know, same thing again. When I'm tired or I have to race all night or it's raining or whatever, I just think about my why, which is raising money for veterans. And how dare me get off the bike? Because my butt hurts or because my legs are cramped, you know, that's a fate worse than death, to go against my why. My why is so big.
Yeah.
And so, that's how, you know, once I got started on that with the whole, you know, making it through buds, you know, and figuring out what my why is, now my brain started turning like, well, damn, what can I do now? You know, and that, you know, I'm 56 now, and it just led to a series of, big, gnarly goals, you know, that I had to yeah. jump up on and tackle by using my why.
Well, that's incredible. I knew I had a feeling that there was something much more than that, right? I would imagine, especially to become a SEAL, like, you have to, right? And the ones that aren't doing it, the ones that are ringing the bell, the ones that are not making it through, you know, there definitely wasn't that driver there for them. I can't imagine, it's almost impossible to get through some kind to that level yeah. of training without that big why. And I love what you yeah. said, like, you know, the only way you're coming out is with a mask on your face, or you know, basically, like, unless you can't go any further, literally. You're gonna do it. But, you know,
you could be
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you could be that 6'2" chisel warrior and, you know, be a letterman. You could have all these, you know, athletic accolades. You could be smart, SAT, whatever. But when you step foot on that grinder and there's 140 other guys there and women, they're starting to bring women in, you know, they're all there. Everybody's got the athletic ability. Everybody's got the Everybody has perfect eyesight. Everybody has, you know, on and on and on. You're already screened and filtered. First couple of days there, either side of me were just these jacked up dudes. You know, it looked like, I mean, I might as well have been trying out for D1 football. I mean, these dudes are like, you know, looking like a bunch of, you know, cornerback and, you know, top receivers next to me. And I'm like, damn. But what I figured out real quick is, these guys really didn't want to be there
yeah.
the same way I wanted to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, y'all can beat the hell out of me. I don't care. I'm little, man. I'm a little dude. I've been beat up and bullied my whole life. You can call me every name in the book. I don't yeah. care. But right. I know I ain't coming out of that cold surf unless I'm hypothermic first. That's the 6'2" letterman. Next thing you know, he gets cold and they're telling him how bad he sucked. And he's never had people tell him he sucks. And
yeah, right.
He's out of the surf. And for me, I've been told my whole life I sucked. And, you know, and I've been getting the shit kicked out of me. So I'm like, well, damn, this ain't nothing more than I've been dealing with before. So,
yeah.
hey, it's on now. It's on.
Yeah.
You know? yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. I love it. Yeah, I mean, I imagine there were, you know, usually it is. Usually it's the guys that look like they belong there that are the ones that kind of go out first, right? I mean, again, I love it, and I think you hit it on the head. They've been told – they haven't had to work for it as hard, and they've been told, like, from day one that they are the greatest of the great, right? And so they haven't necessarily needed that mentality, that mindset to keep going when it's tough.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it, yeah.
You know, so in that process, though, you didn't make it. You said you went through two hell weeks. So what happened?
Yeah. The first time through, I failed a dive physics math test. And they gave me another shot. I failed it the second time. And that's it. You know, it's mm-hmm. They're really strict there.
Yeah.
There's a very heavy weed out process. If you're not the exact material they want, then you're cut. And there's three guys waiting in line right behind you to take your spot.
Right.
And, you know, what's funny is the first time I failed out, I thought, oh, God, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life. But later in life, I look back at it and it's like, really, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because I really had to reassess and say, is this really what you want to do, to go back and do this again? Because at mm-hmm. first, I didn't want to. Like, for a week or two, I was so in shock. I was like, I'm done. I'm out of the Navy. Screw it. I'm going home. I'm a failure, blah, blah, blah. And eventually, it just started turning in my stomach. And I was like, you know what, man? You might have failed that math test, but you belong there. You can do this. And so the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life really turned out to be the best thing, because it taught me about never quitting and never surrendering. And no matter what's going on, if you have a big enough why, that why is going to be the fuel to keep you burning. You know, we talked earlier off the show about the bike race even, and, you know, you're out there 16, 18, 20 hours, sometimes 24 hours riding all through the night in the mountains. You know, it's raining on, and it's so easy to quit there. But if your why is big enough, then you're not going to quit. And you're also not going to quit on something that, if you tee up on something the first time, like Buds, I teed up on Buds the first time. I knew it was a big, gnarly task. How dare me give up on my dream because I didn't do it the first time? How many Hollywood actors are out there? You think a Hollywood actor goes out to Hollywood and walks down the street and does a couple auditions and then they become a Brad Pitt? Hell no.
They got to work and
scratch and claw, and they get rejection and they get their ass kicked and critics tell them how bad they suck. And I was like, man, this thing's just started. This thing's just started. I said, it's on now. I said, I still may be the underdog. I still may be 5'7" and a half on my best day. I may still be 165 pounds, but I'm coming back at you.
That's awesome. I mean, you know, you talk about championship level leadership, and that's really what it's all about, right? It's more about the losses and what you do and how you respond than it is necessarily about the wins, because you know, we all lose. We all have those moments where we fall down and like, what are you going to do when that happens? Because that's life. I mean, that's just life. I mean, it's not all roses by any means.
No, that's it. And then, you know, once you get that in your blood of not backing down off your dream, you know you have that drive and you know you have that why, then it makes you come back even harder, stronger. You know, you read whatever books. You know, I had to study physics, you know, all of that. And even later in life, in business or the recession or, you know, on and on, there's been other numerous failures that I've had in life. And, you know, I was able to draw back from that very moment when I had failed in Buds, as that became my springboard. You know, it's how I responded. If I would have responded and said, oh, no, the instructors had it out for me. You know, I'm a failure. I really should have never done Buds. The Navy, blah, blah, blah. No. I had to put it on me. I had to own it. And once I figured out how to own something and do something with body and soul, heart and soul, you know, even if I failed, I was able to get back into it you know, like business, you know, work in Atlanta for 20 years. You know, you're not just going to walk into Atlanta and people just give you a job and, hey, here's a VP position or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You got to scrap and claw and, you know, you fall down a couple of times and you get rejected on job offers. So that helped me a lot transitioning, going, you know, when I did get out of the Navy, even it wasn't just a one-dimensional thing. It wasn't just about the SEAL training. It was about a lot of the things later in life that I had to deal with.
Yeah, no, that's great. So, what happened? So you make it through and then post-military, like, what did you go on to do? And maybe tell us a little bit about how SEAL Grinder PT started as well.
Yeah, I mean, my first paycheck in the military, I started saving money for college. And, you know, that was my thing. And getting out of the military, the Navy, the SEALs, it wasn't that, you know, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. It was that, hey, I want to just try college and see what happens. And, you know, sure enough, I got out there and started working on it and hitting the books, and slowly did pretty well with it. Ended up graduating from College, University of Georgia. I met my wife there. Ended up going to work in Atlanta and ended up owning a couple of businesses there and some real estate. And over the years, though, I kept asking myself the question, you know, because here it was, now I'm kind of in the rat race and, you know, fighting Atlanta traffic and all that. And I kept asking myself, it's like, you know, what makes you the happiest? And what makes you, when are you at your best? And, you know, it's through, again, that self-examination that I had to have back when I failed out of Buzz. I had to ask myself the hard questions. And when I did that, I kept coming back to fitness. I worked part-time as a coach at a climbing gym. I worked part-time as a coach in a CrossFit gym, just, you know, because I like being in the gym. Yeah. I like helping other people. And that's where, you know, a lot of people are asking, hey, you were in the SEALs, what's a workout you used to do? And you'll laugh, but man, I used to write up a workout, write something on a piece of paper, and type it up, and I put it on the bulletin board, and people would take it down and not copy it or put it back. I was like, what's up with that? Somebody's like, why don't you just put it on like a blog? So I had this ratty, nasty blog that I just was like, today's workout is, and it'd be, you know, running, push-ups, pull-ups, you know.
Yeah,
you know, a cool, nice body weight SEAL, Navy SEAL workout, and it was like my blog just started getting all these hits, and then people were calling me, like, you know, asking me questions, and then even like Zach Evanesh, coach who's really helped me and mentored me, he's calling me for a podcast, and I was like, whoa, okay, well, and all of a sudden it was like, what happened is I kind of aligned with my purpose. And when I aligned better with my purpose, it's like over here, I was doing pretty good and business and family and all this stuff. I was doing pretty good, but I wasn't truly happy. And that's why I asked myself those questions. Once I asked myself those questions and I moved just the compass needle a few degrees to the right, all of a sudden, man, all these cool things started coming to me because I was aligning better with my purpose.
Yeah.
And I read more about that and I was like, wow, okay. And I started getting really excited, in that, you know, wow, now I get to do more and more cool things that I like to do that help me fulfill my, you know, make me feel happy.
Yeah.
And, from there, man, it started snowballing, you know, it was like, you know, yeah, I was in the right place at the right time being a SEAL right during, you know, the Bin Laden years. But I mean, I'd started my blog before that.
Right.
But then also it wasn't like I just went in, you know, I'd been in the Navy back in the 80s. So I kind of had the right background at the right time. And to be in fitness, to put it all together in fitness, it just all started working really well. And yeah, I've been doing it now 9 years, and it just, you know, it's every day I wake up and it's like, oh man, you know, thank you that I'm so grateful that I've been given a chance to give to other people and to help them, you know, That's hugely rewarding to me, more rewarding than anything that I've done. I mean, being on a SEAL team was rewarding. Having a family was rewarding. But from a business standpoint, I think anybody that, if you can make a living doing what you love, I mean, it's cliche to say it, but that's pretty much close to nirvana,
absolutely.
If you grew up as a kid trading baseball cards and you somehow figure out to make a living selling baseball cards, I'm like, damn, this is fun as hell, man.
Yeah, right.
So yeah. Yeah.
I love it. So what are you guys up to inside of Seal Grinder PT? Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, we have we put together a lot of content and interviewing a lot of other different athletes, Joe, all the way to elite athletes, say talk sessions like I'm doing right now with you, either with a group or one-on-one. Earlier today, I was talking with another coaching client on FaceTime. So we do a lot of group coaching, individual coaching, really worldwide. It's great now with Skype, FaceTime, all of that. You can chat with clients. And so, yeah, we've really grown it into it's a worldwide, international brand. I've traveled to Ireland, Puerto Rico, Canada. I've got clients in Germany and, Brazil and, different, a lot of clients in Canada, obviously a lot in the U.S. too, but it grew way bigger than I ever thought. This little nasty blog with a couple of workouts. I would have never thought that, someone would have called me up and said, hey, you want to come to Ireland and teach a class or have someone in Germany, FaceTiming them and helping them, work through, mental, physical, obstacles. That's where we're at now. It's just, it's pretty exciting in today's world with the technology we have to be able to be a coach and, get that word out worldwide, all over. Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. And like you said, it all started with you just really kind of aligning yourself, your life with what it is that really fulfilled you, that you just love doing, that you woke up with excitement, like, man, almost like I get to do this for a living, to the point where, when you put yourself in that place, things just start to happen that you probably didn't even think of or even see coming your way. And, but it takes a lot of courage to take that leap, to take that step, especially if, you might not have been fulfilled, but maybe it was also giving you a pretty good living, right? Or it was providing for a lot of people to make that, to make that decision, to have the courage to take that action. A lot of people wouldn't, they would play it safe, right? They would, but championship leaders, man, it's all about going right when everybody else is going left and making the hard decisions in a way. And it probably, maybe it wasn't a hard decision for you, but from the outside looking in, for many, it would be like the hard, the difficult, the tough decision to make, the unpopular.
I had gotten a little bit too comfortable with where I was at in life. Helped found a business that is still in existence and they're doing well, and an environmental consulting business. And I think I just got a little I was playing it safe. I knew I was not living up to my potential at all. And I knew before, when I made that leap before, when I was 19, and I was dissatisfied then. Here I was just satisfied. And so, but I knew that I had to ask the hard questions. I had to, turn it over. And when you know something, I'm not a grass is greener on the other side, guys, so I don't want to sound like that. But when you know there's potentially something out there and you start to look for it and you just, it's like, man, I gotta play bigger. I gotta play bigger. I can't be playing small and safe. And that's when it all started aligning right there. So really it was just me keeping the radar open and just listening to what all was going on around me. And once I saw it and I'd asked myself that question, like we were talking about before, I was like, man, this is it. This is it right here. Yeah. And it just kept getting better too. Like, you know, I'm not going to say it was like, I mean, there were issues and there were obstacles, but yeah. My fulfillment factor in my gut was like, this is it. When you hit it right, you know it's right. You know, it's almost like a musician. Like you hit a song right, the right keys, and you're jamming. It's like when it's right, you know it's right, and you better strike. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What's a moment maybe in your life where, you know, we all have them, right? Turning points, major points in our life where we very easily could have went the other way, but we didn't. Because of that, like you are where you are today. Is there anything that really steps out to you that was really a defining moment in your life where, you know, again, if you had gone a different direction, we probably aren't even.
We're talking about a few of them right there. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
Major pivot point at 19, you know, having the balls to step up to the plate. Even if I knew I was, you know, pitcher's going to throw 100-mile-an-hour heat at me. That could have gone terribly wrong for me. I could have went in the Navy, I failed out of Buds and came back home to my town and just been like, I could, you know, that could have been a crushing moment for me.
Yeah.
Definitely when I failed out of Buds the first time, me not going back, I would be now at 56. I know I would have had massive regret.
Yeah.
So that was another defining point. Leaving the Navy, leaving the SEAL team, man, I had it made. They were getting ready to hand me a check for like 12 grand, which back then in the 80s, you're like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm paying off my Jeep and putting a down payment on a house.
Yeah, right.
I'm 22 years old, 3 years old. That's a lot of money in the 80s, right? And I had a secure position on a SEAL team. And I'm like, no, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to try for college here. I'm going to see what I can come up with. And so, you know, I mean, those are three biggies right there. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Starting a business later on. Definitely a pivotal point, getting married, having kids. But those three right there, I could have definitely been crushed on any three of those and have my tail turned and been woe is me pretty easily.
Yeah.
But I had to stand up. I mean, I had to stand up, you know, that's all it was.
And those were like, you know, you're – at 19, 20, 21, 22, whatever. I mean, we're still puppies, right? Like,
right, yeah.
I mean, to be able to make those decisions the way you did it at that point was incredible in itself.
Yeah, and I ain't gonna lie, man. When they gave me the news on failing out of Buds, man, it crushed me. I mean, you couldn't have crushed me any better if you would have just smacked me in the head with a 2x4 and just, I mean, and just stomped on my neck right there. I mean, my knees were buckling. I ain't proud to say it, but it's just, that was a rough moment, man. I really could have, looking back, that could have took me, you know, the undertow right then could have took me under, just because I put all the chips on the table, man.
Yeah.
I put all the chips on the table and I was like, this is it. You know, and so, but luckily I found a way, you know, I found a way to win, you know, to get back in the game and keep going with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there one or two mentors, people in your life that really impacted you, you know, someone that you might consider a championship leader that helped you along the way, maybe even during those times or, you know, before or after that really have impacted who you are as a leader?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I failed out of Buds, I got sent to the Fleet Navy. I was on the USS Cleveland, and you'll laugh, but an actual SEAL team was deployed on my ship to go overseas. Really? So here it was. I got to watch the SEAL team work out and, you know, on the back of the boat. And here it is. I'm in my Navy scrubs working. I'm swabbing the deck and chipping paint and all that.
Yeah.
And very luckily, I had another young SEAL there, Troy Flowers, who kind of took me under his wing. I don't know why he felt sorry for me. He could have easily said, you know, I don't need to talk to you. You're a failure. You flunked out of BUDS.
Yeah.
You know, get out of, you know, I was like a parasite, you know? So yeah. Here it is. I'm like, you know, he just kind of took me under his wing, felt sorry for me. And maybe he saw a little inkling of something in me that maybe he, you know, maybe he'd gotten the beat down at some point too. So, yeah. Definitely Troy Flowers was someone at a low point in my life who really kind of, you know, said, you know, kind of kicked me in my ass a little bit. Once I aligned with my purpose and started coaching, definitely Zach Evanesh, was huge and still is huge. Just created a message with him, a note with him the other day in terms of, him just recognizing what I was trying to do and my struggles and giving me the time of the day. You know, he didn't have to help me at any level, and he really did seal fit. You know, he was another mentor still today that I look to in terms of someone who's really helped me kind of helped guide me on this new path that I was on in terms of coaching and helping athletes and the mental, the physical side, all of that, so those are definitely three right there that I've been very fortunate, had my antenna dialed a little bit and looking. I think if you get in a woe is me and you're just looking at the ground and you're just feeling sorry for yourself and the pity party and all that, and I'm looking down the ground now, just, you know, it's like you're not going to be aware of what all is around you and try to pick up those signals, so to speak. And so, you know, if you're sending out good signals of positivity and wanting to improve yourself, you attract others that are trying to do the same, like, you know, Troy Flowers, Zach Evanesh, Coach Mark Devine, you know, those are the types of people that's how they live their lives. And so, birds of a feather flock together, cliche to say, but both in the sense of if you're hanging out with dogs, you're gonna get fleas. Versus, you know, I was trying desperately to hang around with eagles, and like Zach.
You were talking about some of the people that really impacted you. I know Zach Evanesh, Troy Flowers, Mark Devine. The question for you is, have you taken on a similar role with anyone else in your life, kind of paying it forward like some of these folks have done for you? Do you see that as important for you to kind of pass that on and to help and to guide and to mentor others in your life as well?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't want to toot my own horn, but here just this last semester at Florida State University, I mentored three ROTC athletes, students, for free, went out every week and coached them up. Within SEAL Grinder, there's a huge amount of mentoring, accountability, coaching them up. I'm on the board of a local mountain biking group here. So trying to help them raise funds, work on trails, do local projects. So, volunteering, giving back, and mentoring others, like the three athletes, student athletes at Florida State, that's integral. I can't, there's no other way I can do it. Yeah. That's the way I have to live now. Yeah.
I love that you do that. That's incredible to be able to do that and impact others and to help them kind of, you know, get to where you were and what you've done in your life as well. So I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
One more question here before we do wrap this up. And I want to find out like how we can find more information about you and Seal Grinder PT and how they can follow you, our listeners. But first, like what would be one or two things that you could really leave with these listeners? You know, I would say the typical listener of the podcast here, you know, probably entrepreneurs, definitely people that want to grow and level up and continue to build that mindset, that mentality that will help them when life is down a little bit or when they're coming across some struggles to continue to move forward, to continue to push forward. What are a few things that you could leave with them as we start to wrap this up?
Yeah, I think, you know, two things really are just the never quit. You know, I that's been a theme over and over in my life. That's really served me well, and that I don't take no for an answer, and that I come back. If I do come back, well, when I come back, I'm coming back stronger at the issue, and really believing in yourself, because, you know, that was huge for me. Is that, you know, here it was, I was trying out to become a SEAL, but yet I had done nothing in my life ever that would lead anyone else to think this guy had an inkling of being able to do this. Again, yeah. I was not a letterman athlete. I was a C-minus student in high school. I'm in a local community college. I wasn't even going to the, you know, university. What are you kidding me? And so I really, you know, I had a moderate amount of people that were just like, yeah, right. Yeah, let me know how that goes in Hollywood for you, Brad. You're going to become an astronaut next. And I really believing in myself. And that was hard to do. I think at some level, you know, you've got to somewhere become comfortable in your own headspace and not beat yourself down. And this speaks a lot to entrepreneurs. You know, myself, I've you know, helped co-found a consulting firm in the past, in that, you know, you really have to believe in yourself stepping out there on the street and leaving, a comfortable job with an engineering firm and that has a 401k and a stock option plan and on and on. That's what I had. I had married, a house, kids on the way. And so to step out of that, really had to have a big belief in myself. So it wasn't just about me getting crazy and becoming a SEAL. It was me learning that, hey, if in order to do this, you really got to believe. You got to believe in what you're doing, and you got to believe in yourself and your own character. And a lot of times that's hard because, you know, entrepreneurs a lot of times lead this kind of lonely existence at some level, or, you know, it's solitary in that there's a lot of hours that are spent. You're just rocking, cranking work. You're sleeping under your desk. Sometimes you can't, you know, you're not maybe not connected to other entrepreneurs as well as you would like to be. And there's a lot of misery that goes on behind the scenes. A lot of misery that goes on behind the scenes in Buds. A lot of misery that goes on behind the scenes in starting your own business. And so really those are the two takeaways right there. Just never quit, even though that's a cliche thing to say, but I was this close to my whole life pivoting in a different direction. Probably wasn't going to be like what me talking to you right now. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was going, you know, I definitely, you know, if there's ever anything I could impart to my kids, other business owners, other potential military candidates, it would be those two things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful. I appreciate it. And as cliche as it might be, you know, there are a lot of people out there that do. They quit, they give up, you know, they settle. So, yeah, it's important. I appreciate it. What are some ways that people can follow you and, you know, website, blog, social media, whatever the best ways are to get a hold of you and check you out?
Yeah, super easy. It's, you know, grinder workout on the asphalt or a grinder, coffee grinder, what have you. Or I could say also physical therapy, you know, and that helps your mind. And so it's kind of a weird name, Brad McLeod, and you'll see everything, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, we're on all social networks. And yeah, that's, you know, any way that I, you know, hit me up with an email or a message on Facebook or whatever. I'm very open, pretty easy to get in touch with. If you look on my website, even I think I have my home address. I just work out of my home.
Yeah, thank you. I love it. So what you broke up there was seal, is just sealgrinderpt.com?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, sealgrinderpt.com.
Okay, yep. I appreciate it. Yeah, the connection was a little bit lost there when you were
sealgrinderpt.com,
and then yeah, I can attest to it's definitely easy to get a hold of Brad. I sent him a message, wanted to get him on the show, and he responded right back to me, and here we are. I appreciate it. So thank you so much for doing that, and thanks for taking time out of your busy life to be here.
'05 and '06, I deployed to Kuwait. I used to wait every day for them to say, nature going home. I missed my life, missed my wife. For 15 months, she was all alone. But when I got back, I felt out of control. Feeling entitled, I put my life on hold. I keep on drinking, so I'm sinking in a river of liquor. Me and my wife weren't alright, I didn't reconnect with her. I had a business, insurance agent, and rental properties. But is there something bigger than this? I know there's gotta be, so I invested in myself. I started seeing coaches. Life is a camera, I fixed the lens, and now I see in focus. Now my life's unrecognizable
from my life just a couple years ago.
17 plus years of marriage, it's never been better than this. And we got 3 kids, that's who I do it for. I'm called to be a leader. I'ma lead the way, cause I'm a firm believer. We can do anything we want. Look, if I said it, then I meant it. I probably already did it. Consider it done. Consider it done. If you need some inspiration, you should play this. Championship Leadership Podcast. Hey, baby. Championship Leadership Podcast with Nate Bailey.